Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're going to continue today to talk about the readings that were given, especially the first reading at Mass. These days, we're continuing to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We're in this fantastic time of the church year between the resurrection of our Lord, his passion, death, and resurrection, and the celebration of the unfolding of the life of the church. And it gives us a real glimpse into a picture of the life of the early church and how it began to grow and how the Lord worked through them and how faithful they were to Jesus' words and what he had taught them. They were now able to move in the full power of the Holy Spirit that equipped them and enabled them to fulfill the commission that the Lord had given to them, the great commission that he gives to the whole church. I mean, the great commission is what? Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember, friends, that the church lives by the great commandments. First, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in Matthew 22, Matthew's gospel, Jesus says very clearly, this is the first and the greatest thing. This is the first reason that Jesus hung on a cross. This is the first reason why he said yes. Because it says, as it said in Philippians 2, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He expressed the love language of heaven. I've said it many times, I'm going to keep saying it. This is what heaven defines as love, is the radical surrender of everything from the heart to God the Father, who's absolutely trustworthy. And Jesus makes clear to us that the greatest thing anybody can ever do, and what God calls great, and what heaven calls great, and what heaven will crown, are those men and women who put the first commandment in the first place in their heart. It wasn't just rules. It wasn't just an external imposition of commands. It was a call to love and radically trust God the Father as Father. This is what Jesus demonstrated so clearly for us, friends, that his Father was utterly trustworthy, that to obey the Father no matter what is the greatest thing anybody could ever do. And then he calls us, he said, the second commandment is like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the second flows from the first. If you're just focusing on the second, I'm just going to love people, and you don't pay attention to God and love of God, your loves will be disordered. And eventually you'll kind of burn out. You'll run out of steam. It's the love with which we're meant to love neighbor is the love that we receive from God. And it's meant to flow through us. And it's only sustained by the grace and power of the Spirit. It's only sustained and fruitful because we're living with Jesus. We're bearing fruit. We're abiding in him, in that gift of relationship, the response to the truth of what he said, that as the Father loves me, so I love you. And as the Father loves me, so he loves you. And it's God who loves us first. And it takes God to love God. That's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. It takes God to love our neighbors the way God wants us to love. And so our eyes are set and our hearts are set on the things that Jesus put top priority on. First commandment, second commandment, and the Great Commission. Great commandment and the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all nations. And this is what is unfolding in the life of the apostles. And by the way, friends, just those things that I just mentioned, if you ever want to ask, you know, is the church healthy? Well, the way to determine that the church is healthy is not how many people go to church, or, I mean, that's one dimension of it, but it may or may not be what's most important to the Lord, in the sense of, just because people go to church, it doesn't mean the first commandment's in the first place and they're engaged in the Great Commission, the things that Jesus really gave us to do, the things that were most important to him. This is what determines our health. This is what defines the church's greatness. It's not the size of her buildings, the size of her bank account, the prestige that the church may still have in the world, our universities, our art, all that stuff is wonderful. But it's all a sign, hopefully, that the church is living what matters most, these things that are at the core. And this is what we see the apostles living now in the Acts, which is so wonderful to walk with them through this process. Because they're now seeing and they're being empowered to to respond differently than they did before the crucifixion to the pressure that's coming against them. They're going forward, and Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead. So Peter and John, as I mentioned yesterday, they're on their way to the temple. At the temple, they encounter the lame beggar, and in obedience to Jesus, what are they doing? They pray for him, and he's healed. In Jesus' name, he's healed. And so that's an obedience to Christ. Then people gather, and they proclaim the gospel. They bear witness to Jesus. They speak the truth in love, just as Jesus did. And then, just as with Jesus, it led to trouble. The leaders said, be quiet, you're disrupting things. They were angry, they threatened them, and the apostles, just like Jesus did, kept going. And they said, look, we're not looking for a fight. In so many words, these are my words, we're not looking for a fight. We're not here to directly oppose you. We're here to proclaim the truth that we know with certainty that Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, is alive. He rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. And why this man was healed and why more people are being healed and the reason people are listening to us, even though you see us as uneducated men, this is the work of Jesus. And he's calling all to be saved, to repent from their sins, because he wants to offer the life that he now has at the right hand of the Father. To whoever opens their heart to it can receive it. So today, there's a description here in today's first reading. It said the community of believers was of one heart and mind. Here's a key thing that the Holy Spirit does is he tenderizes the human heart. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. The Holy Spirit has come to create one new man, you could say, the church with Christ as head and all those united to Jesus, loving each other, walking together in truth, living it out, serving each other. And so this is what's being expressed here. And they began to experience the community of believers was of one heart and one mind. And no one claimed that any of his own possessions was his own. That's amazing, really, when you think about it. It says, with great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great favor was accorded them all. This would be a beautiful description for the church today, if this is indeed how the church was living. The idea that the church was visibly walking in great power, as the apostles were, because they were bearing witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This is the first mission, the point of the church, her mission to go forward and to communicate this truth. Some people in the church, some people who are baptized, this is not really on their radar at all. That's why the church needs renewal. That's why her preaching needs to be empowered more by the Spirit and her leadership. People need to come alive in the grace of a new Pentecost. And the only way great power goes forward is from God. It's a work of God. You shall receive power, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what he told the apostles before the day of Pentecost. You shall receive power. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that Jesus said he came to cast upon the earth. He said, I come to cast fire on the earth. And he said his desire would be that it was ablaze in the hearts and minds of believers, and we would live an empowered life. Christianity is an empowered life. It's not just a more clarifying way of life, a more clarifying philosophy. It's not just another of man's attempts to name their religious experience. This is the revelation of God himself. In the fullness of time, his Son was revealed. Jesus revealed the Father, the great mystery, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to us. And he's given us a share in the very life of God, which is what Christianity is. It's being born again by water and the Spirit. It's coming alive. It's being brought from death to life through the forgiveness of our sins and through the grace of baptism, entering his body, a supernatural reality that doesn't rely on my power. It's a gift from God. It's the beginning of the sharing in the glory that belongs to Jesus. God the Father is the Father of all glory. And he and the Son shared in the Holy Spirit for all eternity the glory and the renown and the majesty and the beauty and the power of God. And Jesus became one of us so God could save us from dying, from death, from corruption, from division, from harm, and to come into the eternal glory that belongs to God. So Peter would say with great boldness, we become partakers of the divine nature. This is Christianity, and this is the power that's flowing through the apostles that allows them to bear witness. Friends, I've seen in so many situations, in my own life even, in so many situations, life of the church, where the church's message is just, it just drops to the ground. It's not powerful. It's the communication of information. And the church gets ever more sophisticated in theology and philosophy and all that. And I love that stuff. I'm recording this in my home, in my basement. My basement library is full of theology books and philosophy books. I love that stuff. But you know what? Without the Spirit of God being communicated through the hearts of living disciples who are completely convinced of the simplicity and the core truth of the message, the gospel, and we're moving and surrendering to the movement of the Holy Spirit, these words are dead letters. They fall to the ground. They don't have any power. But it's when we walk in the footsteps of the apostles, as the passage describes today, with great power, the apostles bore witness. To what? To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So what's the first and most important thing they're doing? Are they making up big, sophisticated, theological, grand, sweeping visions of things? Which some of that stuff is beautiful. But what are they talking about? This is the lesson we need to take. What is the Holy Spirit anointing with power? He's anointing their witness. Well, what's their witness? It's their testimony. What's their testimony? They're testifying to the resurrection of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And as a result, great favor was accorded them all. Don't you think the church needs great favor? And the church is everybody. Sometimes we talk about it, we think it's the bishops. Well, certainly they're the leaders of the church. But friends, the church is all of us who are baptized into Christ. And how do we, the church, walk in great favor? We witness, we bear witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's at the heart of it. We live lives that communicate to a world around us that we're part of a whole new reality. We're part of God's new community, the church. Forgiven sinners, weak, broken people who've come to experience the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sins, and are experiencing the outworking of Jesus' promise and a participation in the reality of his glory and majesty, that now he who's now at the right hand of the Father in glory is giving us a share in that glory. What does that mean? That we've become temples of the living God. God has come to live in us, and we're aware of it, and we're walking together aware of it. We're thrilled and fascinated. We're amazed at what God's doing in us. This is our treasure. This is our prize. And life is flowing from us because we're sharing it. This is what a healthy church is. That's why it's so important for us to see, to get back to the basics, to lean into the story. And as we're reading about the apostles, we say, that's our story. That's who we're called to be. As Jesus promised it to them, so he promises it to us. And what we need now, people ask that question all the time in the church. This is what we need, friends. This is what the popes have called the grace of a new Pentecost. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.